This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air. With your host, John Rush.
All right, welcome. It is the Friday edition, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, will have movie reviews here in a few minutes. In the meantime, though, we have got John Cannata joining us from Denver IT Security. John, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, John?
Good.
Good to see you.
I'll be glad when this wind stops, but other than that, I'm good. I feel like I live in Wyoming some days. All right, I know this isn't in my notes, but I wanted to ask you anyways, because we talked a little bit about last time you were on, and it's a big deal because it's, I said this yesterday, when times get tougher, I'll just say it as it is, the scumbags get bigger, I guess is the best way to say it, which, ransomware.
Right.
Have you noticed, I mean, I know it's always there, but have you noticed any kind of an uptick in it lately?
Not personally with our clients, but yes, I've been reading a lot about it. There has been quite an uptick in ransomware, especially the newer ransomware that's evolved, where instead of just locking up your data and asking you for money, what they do is they steal your data, they exfiltrate it to their own servers, then they lock it up and ask you for money. And if you don't pay, they threaten to release that
information.
Or sell it.
I saw one of those letters the other day exactly of what you just said a moment ago, to where, yeah, it's not only, you know, corrupting your data to where you can't get to it. It's, hey, if you don't pay us money, we're going to release this data, whatever's there, right, whatever we found, we're going to put it out onto the open market, if you would.
Right. It's a double extortion.
Yeah. And in that case, it could be everything from, you know, your customers, you know, because typically this is businesses are going after because they know that's where the money side of the fence is, I'm assuming.
Right.
Now, question I have for you. Do they or don't they target certain businesses based upon what they think their ability to pay is, or is it just random, and if they find an open port and they can get in the back door, they do so?
There is some degree of randomness, but a lot of times they will get into your network, they will find your insurance documents, and they'll see how much cyber insurance you have.
I never thought of that.
If it's $20 million, they'll ask for 25, and then they'll negotiate down to 20.
I never thought of that.
They did.
Okay.
They're pretty smart.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That makes 100%, you know, that makes total sense. I never would have thought of that. So literally, because they can get in and see all of what's going on, they literally can view all of that.
Right. And so if they are going to demand a ransom, they know how much to ask for and get away with.
Okay. Now, as we talk about, and because I've been mentioning this as well, you get workers that work from home. Andy and I have talked a lot about that, and it's still going on. And we're going to talk even some today about that a little bit in the third hour. But the folks that work from home, typically speaking, not always, but typically they're going to be getting back into the work network some way, somehow. Either that's through, you know, some terminal that's there that they log into, which, by the way, I think means it's very vulnerable because that computer is just sitting there with this port that's open that's saying, hey, come access me at any given time, and you're laughing because you know what I mean, right?
Hopefully they have a little more security in place than that.
Well, you'd hope.
Not always.
That's where you come into play, right?
Because, right?
Not always. A lot of times they don't have that.
A lot of times they don't. And a lot of times what hackers are finding is that they should break into home networks instead of business networks, because then from there they can get into the computer of the employee.
They're just backing in that way.
And a lot of times employers just give them a VPN access to their servers. And so once they're
in the
network, and they've got full access to the whole office.
Were companies just entirely not ready for what COVID did, putting all their workers at home, and suddenly you've got all of these new windows in that people can come into your network?
in fairness, I don't think anybody was ready for that pandemic, pandemonium, or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, especially businesses, when they're suddenly told you have to shut down, send everybody home, they're thinking, you know, how do we keep in business? How do we keep things going?
How do we keep the doors open?
Let's scramble. For now, let's just everybody go home and we'll figure it out as we go. And they figured out how to be productive. A lot of them didn't figure out how to be secure. And so there is a lot of that. And now that we are moving forward and a lot of companies are staying in the work-from-home mode.
In that mode, yeah.
Now they should start considering, well, they should have.
Should have already,
At least by now, they should start considering adding some more security.
And another thing you just made a ton of sense on is hackers could get into the home side. They then get in the home side. They figure out, oh, okay, this guy's just doing some gaming and there's some kids and they don't do much. Okay, we'll move on. All of a sudden they hit one that, oh, there's two people that live here that are actually going back into other work-type networks. We can now gain access to two work networks, possibly.
Possibly.
Or more, depending upon how many people are actually working out of that home. But sometimes one, sometimes two, they hit the jackpot.
Right, double jackpot. If they've got two people working from home and they can get into both of their computers,
then they
can get into two networks.
So when it comes to the home, because I'm guessing it's a little bit dicier, or does it? So, you know, we're the company, Andy and I are the company, and we've got, you know, Charlie, who's working from home. Mm-hmm. What right do I have as an employer to make sure Charlie's home network is secure? How does that work?
I would say you have every right. I mean, his home office becomes an extension of your office.
Okay.
At some point, you're going to give him a computer to use, and it's your property, and you should be able to maintain it. And no matter where he puts it, you have to manage it and maintain it. So I think it would be your responsibility.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I think, John, you'd have the same right as requiring Charlie to have reliable transportation.
Yeah, true.
To get to work if he's going to come to work. Anything in his personal life that can impact directly on the workplace, well, you got to protect.
So how many companies actually look at that end of it?
I'm sorry, which end of it?
How many companies that you work with actually look at that home network? I mean, I know you're probably encouraging that, but do companies really look at, oh, we've got all these home networks running around, they're VPNing into our network. How many of them are looking at the home network to make sure they're secure?
Probably very few. Those that we're not managing anyway.
That's what I figured.
Very few. In fact, whenever we do come across a new prospective client, we find out that they have very little security. A lot of times they're using their home computers to remote into the office or access cloud services, whatever, but it's their own personal home computer that isn't even protected in any way.
Which could also be the kid's gaming computer and the whatever,
yes.
How do you do this? I mean, if a company brings you in, do you first look over their system? Do you sit down with their employees and let them know kind of what's going on,
how we do this? Yeah.
I mean, what's the process?
Our first process, first I like to talk to the business owner or whoever it is that's engaging me at the business.
Could
be the director of operations or whomever. And just try to get a feel for the climate at the office, how they work, what the culture is like, how many are working from home, what they're doing right now for security, how they're managing, and just take it from there. And then next steps after that are usually we'll put together a plan of how they can be more secure. And that plan might have multiple steps. It could be, for now, let's take these first two steps, and then as you have the resources or as we have the time, we'll extend and take a few more measures. Some of those measures might be training for employees, might be ongoing training methods, or it might be just a one-time training. It all depends on their culture and how things work there.
Do employees sometimes have, you know, reservations, maybe seeing this as any kind of an incursion on their personal life, or do they usually see it as, hey, great, I'm being protected. I don't want to be, you know, hacked through my company.
Most of them see it as a good thing. They are receptive to it. At first, some might be reluctant, like, what is this guy going to do? He's coming in here. He's going to make things hard for us. But once they realize that I'm on the same side as them and that we all want to protect their company, then a lot of them are on board with it, and they really appreciate it, because then they can take that knowledge home to them, to their homes, and apply a lot of it to their home networks, too.
Okay, so time frame, because when you and Andy were just talking, it made me think for a second. Okay, if I'm a company, I've hired you, I want to get things secure as quickly as I can. What are we talking time frame-wise to get to that point where it's secure? After we've gone through all of this, you know, investigation. You come through. You mm-hmm. do everything to figure out exactly what needs to be done and so on. I mean, we're looking at, you know, a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, a month. What, as an owner, what am I looking at?
That depends on what level of security you're looking for. Like I said, we can put together an assessment with a plan of action with milestones and say, here's where we're going to be next week, next month. And it's really according to your plan. But if you wanted to go all out, open the fire hose and just go, probably within 2 to 3 weeks, we can have pretty much everything done.
One more question here. Do companies usually come to you after they've already experienced a hack, or friend in another company experienced a hack, or are they just being more forward-thinking?
Unfortunately, most of them come to us after they've had some kind of a breach.
After a problem.
Yeah, after a problem. That's when most people realize, hey, maybe I wasn't as secure as I thought I was. And I try to be nice and patient with them and
sure.
not rub it in, like,
you
hey, you should have done this sooner, you know.
That's like the guy whose engine blew up because he didn't change oil. I mean, I've seen those over the years. It's no different.
Right.
Same deal. You know, you just, you're patient, and you know, let's just not let it happen again.
Right. And so,
change
oil? Most.
Yeah, yeah. No,
you're supposed to do that?
Yeah, yeah, you're supposed to do that, Andy.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that is
I
one gotta of those
go,
things.
John. Yes, sorry. Sorry about the rest
that
of the show.
That is a have to, yes. And I'm laughing a little bit here, John, because the other thing I also know happens, and I'm not picking on anybody, so please, if there's anybody out there that falls into this category, I'm not picking. I'm just saying. A lot of companies will use that guy that they know, or the guy on staff that claims to know all of these things and is supposed to be keeping things secure and so on, but really at the end of the day, John probably doesn't know a whole lot more about it than the gamer kid at home does. He's just gotten by long enough, and then something happens, because typically somebody's got somebody on staff or even an outside person doing some of this, because very few people know how to do all of their own networking and VPNs and so on. So typically there's someone there. What I'm saying is, in a lot of cases, they've scrimped on the money side, and that's why they're not as secure. Am I right?
That is correct, yes. I wouldn't say they're skimping. A lot of times, small businesses, you know how it is.
Well,
small
yeah,
businesses
that's
start
the right
out.
Word.
And
they're trying to save money.
Right, they're trying to save money. So at first, they don't have an IT person or even an IT company to work with.
Correct.
So somebody who happens to know a little bit about computers, hey, you know how to download iTunes. Why don't you be our computer guy?
Correct.
In your spare time. And then from that, they evolve to the next level of maturity where they realize, hey, maybe we do need an outside company to come in.
Okay.
Well, and also, let's face it, it's a totally different set of skills.
Yes.
Because usually the IT guy at a company is the one making sure that all the various systems within the company communicate with each other, provide the kind of reports and the formats that they want. Protecting that entire environment is a totally different thing.
Correct.
Yes.
Agree.
I agree.
Yeah, running your point of sale or what's running the business is one thing. Keeping the attackers from coming in is a completely other.
It is a very different thing, and a lot of people sometimes conflate information technology, IT, and information security.
Yeah.
There is an overlap there. They both involve information, but the technology...
They're not one and the same.
Right. The technology is the hardware that you use. The security is more of a mindset or a paradigm that you follow.
Okay. DenverITSecurity.com/KLZ, folks, is the place to go. Also, if you're driving and you forget that, I always say this, just go to KLZradio.com. All of our great sponsors are there, including John. It's Denver IT Security, the only IT company we have. You won't find anyone else on the website, so that makes it really easy. Just go to KLZradio.com, and if you're the person or the business I just mentioned a moment ago, upgrade, protect yourself. The last thing you want is some sort of ransomware, to where then, one way or the other, John, you're paying out, even if it's the redoing of all of your hardware. And in this case, like you just said, it then's going out into the internet, potentially.
That's even worse.
One way or the other, you're going to pay. You might as well pay you on the front side to make sure none of that happens.
Another thing to consider, a lot of people say, well, I have cyber insurance, so I'm covered if anything happens. What they're not thinking about is their reputation. You can't buy your reputation back with insurance.
Yep, because all that customer info and everything else is out there.
Once
you don't
it's
want
online,
that.
Oh, yeah, it. Absolutely. One of the worst things is having your name, the name of your company, come up in the papers.
That's right.
All of the customers of this
That's
company
right.
have
That's
been
right.
hacked.
Yeah, right. You don't want that. So, right. again, folks, DenverITSecurity.com/KLZ, or easy, just go to KLZradio.com. John, joy.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Here. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Guys, we'll be right back. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. Speaking of oil changes, by the way, yes, you need oil changes to keep your car running well, just like you've got to take care of things with John on the IT side. With Extreme, they'll help you with whatever you need. And much like the computer world, there are different systems on your vehicle requiring different things when it comes to the maintenance and repair of. Call them today, 303-841-1071.
A lot of auto repair shops have maybe one master technician on staff, if any. But the team at Extreme Auto Repair values their customers' time and money. They never want to replace parts unnecessarily. There's a difference between looking at the scan tool and diagnosing the problem. The scan tool tells you where the problem is located, not what the problem is. An accurate diagnosis gives you the peace of mind that you're not overspending on unnecessary repairs. By the time you go through levels A, B, and C to reach master technician status, you become a replacement artist, meaning you don't guess, you diagnose. A less experienced technician might see an issue with the module and stop there, recommending that you replace the whole module for over $1,000. But the module could have nothing wrong except for a bad connector or a crooked pin, a much cheaper fix. Get an accurate diagnosis from the ASE certified master technicians at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker. Promises kept.
Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning, folks. Make sure your estate is in order. Again, it's one of those things you've got to prep for on the front side. 720-394-6887 or klzradio.com.
It's not a fun topic, but Michael Bailey doesn't dwell on the darkness. He guides you quickly through a complicated legal process so you can move on. KLZ's mobile estate planner speaks multiple languages, so he's a good translator. Michael Bailey will explain your estate plan in plain English so you have the information you need to make clear decisions without spending a whole lot of time bogged down in difficult decisions. KLZradio.com/estate. Accessible estate planning.
The average hacker spends 45 days inside a network before launching their attack. 45 days lurking in the darkness, stealing credentials, pilfering data, deleting backups, gathering intelligence about operations, and preparing a strategy to best monetize their newfound treasure. 45 days. Early detection and a swift response is the best defense against cyber attacks. A trained response team will watch for unusual activity and quickly take action to thwart an attacker's scheme. The right combination of prevention and detection is the best defense against cyber attacks. If the prospect of hackers living in your network concerns you, schedule a free consultation with John Cannata today by visiting denveritsecurity.com/KLZ. That's denveritsecurity.com/KLZ.
Suck it up, Buttercup. Back to Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush together with Andy Pate. And John, are you ready for a movie?
Always.
All right.
Always.
Well, John, I got to ask you this. I assume the answer is yes. You're a churchy guy like me. Have you ever gone to a church camp?
Oh, yes, many times.
They're actually pretty fun, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I usually have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's time. It's the time of year right now for Christian families who go to these camps, right? Because summer is coming along. And this happens also in family camp.
Hey, family. Welcome to camp.
What, the Ackermans?
Don't seem to have an Ackerman here on the list.
You made the final payment online, right?
Hmm?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You guys. This is glamping!
What? No Wi-Fi. I can't wait until you realize there's no air conditioning.
What?
Now where's my yummy bride?
Oh, honey. Hi, hello, your family. Oh, I'm Grace.
Stop, not another word.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Here's my card.
Intergalactic chiropractic.
Buckle up, everybody.
The Camp Catawba Trophy. You should see this baby on my mantle at home. The family that takes home the most points at the end of the week takes the cup from my cold, dead hands.
If you think we're going to be friends with that guy, you need your head examined.
We're not monsters, okay? Even though we do make sugar-free, organic, vegan, non-dairy marshmallows.
Today, we are going to do the buddy system. Let's go, Bucko.
Should have known better than to trust you. You have no idea where we are.
We have a problem.
Our husbands are out there on their own, and we don't even know where they are.
I'm stuck here with Dr. Phil's demented twin brother when I should be back at the camp singing Kumbaya with my family.
It's okay, mi amigo. When God closes a door, he opens a Chick-fil-A. It
goes like this.
Looks kind of fun, doesn't it?
Statement was pretty funny.
When God closes the door, he opens the Chick-fil-A. Yeah.
Jesus chicken.
Yeah. Okay. Grace and Tommy Ackerman, by the way, he's played by Tommy Woodard. They have a dysfunctional family. Tommy is engrossed in his cell phone all the time, always focusing more on his career than his family. Well, naturally, Tommy shows up late to church a lot, right? Because he's always working. And also, let's face it, he's golfing. He's just that kind of guy. He just has no real interest in God. Well, Tommy defines himself by achievement and providing for his family, not grace from above.
Okay.
When their pastor tells everyone about a family camp at Camp Catawba, Grace pushes Tommy to bring the family. Well, obviously, Tommy hates the idea. The idea for this guy who's not that serious about his faith and is totally into his business to be stuck for several days at a camp with a bunch of hyper-Christian people, that's going to be a living
miserable
hell
for him, right?
Yes. Yeah. So he doesn't want to do it, and it's going to be really tough. Also, they've got two kids. They got the 16-year-old daughter, Hannah. She's a knockout who draws boys. Naturally, mom isn't too keen on this. And then they've got a son, and he's this eccentric little, I got no other word, sissy.
Okay.
Which is pretty embarrassing for dad as well. But worst of all, they go to Camp Catawba, and the guy whose family shares living quarters with the Ackermans is a nutcase. His name is Eddie. He's played by Eddie James. By the way, Tommy Woodard and Eddie James are part of this Christian, in real life, Christian skit company.
Okay.
I forget if they're called the Skit Guys or something like this.
Okay.
But they're actually very well known.
Okay.
Well, Eddie is super annoying, extremely expressive at all times. He's a hyper-Christian with praise songs and a harmonica, and he's ultra-pushy. He's your worst church nightmare. And he's also a chiropractor who doesn't mind just adjusting people without asking them. And he's also an incredibly healthy eater.
Okay.
So, you know, none of the fattening stuff, none of this, none of that, and all that. It's just, he is annoying. Well, Tommy, of course, hates this, and the family start battling for the camp trophy. You heard that in the preview. But matters get worse when Tommy and Eddie have to go out in the woods. They go on a hike for all the dads.
Okay.
And naturally, Eddie, being annoying, gets them separated from the group, and now they're lost in the woods. And these woods actually cross over, you know, state borders. They're enormous. And they're lost out there. Well, ultimately, Tommy, he has to decide what matters most, family or work, because he learns a lot while he's out in the woods with Eddie. And he has to decide what matters most and what plan God has for him and the strange man named Eddie. And by the way, Tommy isn't the only one in this movie with issues. And that's the story of family camp.
Okay.
What do you think?
Sounds churchish.
It's very churchish. Okay. What works in this movie? Well, first of all, of course, there's clear chemistry between Tommy and Eddie, the skit guys. And wouldn't there be? I mean, these guys have, I guess, worked together for years. And this is going to be a lot of the draw for the movie are people who are big fans of these two guys. That's who's going to go to this movie.
Okay.
Secondly, as characters start sharing more serious moments, and this really starts happening in the, you know, second half of the movie, both the interest and the humor actually pick up. There's a funny scene with Tommy and Eddie in the woods where Eddie gets stung by a bunch of bees and he needs Tommy to give him a shot. And I'll just say it's a very funny scene.
Okay.
It's actually the jewel of the movie.
Okay.
And finally, the pastor is very likable. Oh, one more thing. Good message about show-off Christians.
Okay.
Okay, you know, Matthew 6:1, you know, don't do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. Mm-hmm. If you do, you have already had your reward. That's probably the most forgotten verse in Scripture, I think. You go to church and people put on a show quite a bit. And Eddie is putting on a massive show. So is his whole family because they're just very outward. I mean, they mean it. They love singing and doing all these things. But this movie makes a very strong statement about a lot of these Christians who are always putting on a show of their Christian faith. And I kind of like that.
Okay.
Makes sense? Okay.
Yep. Yep.
What else is good about this movie? I'm sorry. And I know the people who are big fans of these two guys are going to be mad at me, but folks, I'm here to give honest reviews, so let's do it. What doesn't work? John, I'm just going to say this. This is one of those Christian movies that you and I always dread that are going to, well, let me just plow in. Oftentimes, skit humor, you know, it doesn't translate to feature films. That's the case here. Well, the humor is exaggerated, very exaggerated, especially the first half, like several characters. I haven't cringed this much in years. Virtually all the humor with Eddie is so overblown and unrealistic. It's like taking the worst of Will Ferrell and putting it in the middle of Schindler's List. I mean, it just, it's so over the top. So is his wife. And it's just like, guys, I mean, you are pushing, you're just slaughtering any kind of realism. I got it. Even with a Will Ferrell movie, which are usually hilarious, it's because you can actually see them in the situation, right? This, no. For the first half of the movie, I was in sheer pain. This is everything, as I said, we Christians fear we'll see in a Christian movie. Totally weak comedy, embarrassingly shallow characters, pathetic slapstick, all rolled into a movie far too churchy for anyone outside the faith to watch. And I'm sorry, but just being honest. There's one scene where the daughter knocks her mom into the lake, and it's just embarrassing. I pleaded with God to make it stop. He is a loving God. The scene stopped. So just, you know, proof that there is a loving God. Oh, my goodness. Even the message, I got to be honest, I told you that there was part of it I really liked about show-off Christians. I really liked that message. But the message is imbalanced in my opinion. Now, here's my opinion coming in, just word of warning. While Tommy was too consumed with work, he did have valid reasons for concern. There was a coworker who was stealing his accounts while he was away. And he was honestly trying to stay up on that and get a promotion, which he was up for the good of his family. He cared about his family. He really did.
By the way, nothing wrong with that.
No. And all this was portrayed as shallow, unspiritual, and unloving. Telling Tommy to limit calls is one thing. I can understand that. But demanding he ignore his career at critical moments is crazy. And I think it was a little unrealistic. It's like it forgets that you do your job because you love your family and you're serving God. And yeah, he wasn't a very spiritual guy, but he really loved his family and he wanted to take care of them. And I feel that this made too light of that reality of life. And by the way, do you kind of see that sometimes with people in church? Making a little too light of the driven business person, man or woman.
I've taught some classes on that, Andy, yes.
Yeah.
Right with you.
I mean, you know, look at how Joseph basically took all of Egypt and got it ripped into shape. You know, you got a plan, 7 years of famine. You know, there's so much. I don't find the Bible to be anti-business.
It's not. It's actually quite business friendly.
Yes. And anyway, and it doesn't go.
Actually, let me rephrase that. I got time.
No,
let me
please.
Rephrase that. It's actually quite business directed.
Yes.
And will even tell you how to do it.
Yeah. Be honest, but it doesn't mean you can't be focused. It doesn't mean you don't care about God. Now, in his case, he really did. He was pretty shallow in his faith. I understand that. But this was, and they don't harp on it, but, well, actually, they kind of do. And this was something that for me was a little imbalanced.
Okay.
Okay, there you go. Okay, Rotten Tomatoes had no reviews of this movie, which actually surprised me. Even Christian movies get reviews.
I'm surprised, yeah.
Maybe there are some now, but there weren't any even up to this morning. For quality, I'm going to give it 1 star.
Okay.
Because the second half did definitely improve a lot. The humor got better, the storylines got better, and you know, and I did like the whole thing about show-off Christians.
Okay.
So 1 star. Political 3, more religious, I'm going to give it 4. I can't give it 5 because, as I said, message is imbalanced. Folks, absolutely you do not want to take non-Christians to family camp. It is not meant for them. And even when you go, I got to be honest, I think you're going to cringe, especially through the first half. If you can wait through that, maybe you're home free.
Okay.
There you go. Family camp.
Hi-Fi Plumbing, folks, is next. And I mentioned it yesterday. They are the winner of the Small Business of the Year Award for 2022 from the Denver Metro. Chamber of Commerce. That's a big deal, by the way. So they will take care of you. Don't forget about all your summer projects coming up. Make sure that they're involved in that, and they can help you with even the planning stages of it. 877-WE-HIGH-5 or go to klzradio.com.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And John, are you ready for another movie?
Always.
All right, John.
Hopefully better than the last one.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to fall off the floor, John.
Very true.
Isn't that mean?
Very true.
I am sorry, but...
very true.
By the way, you know, the last couple days, you and I have been ranting about Christians who upset us with, you know, that they did not vote for Trump and so forth. Another thing that's always frustrated me and you is when Christians put out a subpar product.
Right.
In any industry, including movies.
Right. Especially movies, by the way.
Yeah, so I get a little personal with that. Okay, here we go. John, kids and fire. What could go wrong?
Pyromaniacs.
Yep. Let's see in Firestarter.
Daddy.
What's going on, sweetie?
Something that happened again.
What happened?
The bad thing.
If you ever start to lose control, what do you do?
It didn't work.
She's not a robot, Annie. She's a little girl. With little girl emotions, which are wildly unpredictable.
Charlie?
She just has to shove it down and keep it hidden.
Our responsibility is getting her ready.
Our responsibility is to protect her.
Charlie?
If they catch her, they're gonna put her in a cage.
Charlie?
They're gonna run tests on her for the rest of her life. We'll never see her again.
If who catches me?
Something's happened. I need it handled with discretion. And I need her back alive. Do you know what it means to be on the run?
Bad men are after us. Really bad.
I hate living like this! You're special, Charlie. I'm not special. I'm a monster! Ah! Charlie!
You know, she has a point, John. When you can make fire, and I mean really, really, really make fire, she has a point. Okay, Firestarter, you know, some people may be thinking, hey, wait, I've heard of this one before. They're right. It's a horror film from a Stephen King book.
Okay.
It's also a remake from the 80s version that starred Drew Barrymore. I don't know if you remember that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. I remember the movie, actually.
Yeah. Well, for years, parents Andy, who's played by Zac Efron, I like him, and Vicky, who's played by Sydney Lemon, well, they've been on the run. They were experimented on in college. They had to take, you know, various drugs. And so they have no trust for government. Yay! I agree with them on that. But the powers that they got only magnified when they had a daughter. Her name is Charlie, and she has pyrokinetic power, among other powers. And Charlie just makes fire. And boy, does she make it. So the family runs from a secret federal agency wanting to study Charlie's power. Isn't there always a secret agency? Mm-hmm. There always is. Well, Andy has a power, too. His is mental persuasion. Problem is, using it is killing him. When he uses it too much, there's blood that comes from his eyes. It's really tough on him. Still, he teaches Charlie to control her power, which is driven by, of course, emotions. But when Charlie turns 11, you know, she's heading into puberty here, it becomes harder and harder. And finally, she has an incident that draws attention, national attention.
Okay.
Well, here's the problem. Kids are obviously highly emotional. Also, if you anger a kid, the kid can lash out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want a kid who controls fire to lash out at you? Probably not.
No.
Well, and besides, is making your child suppress their emotions really the best move?
Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, bottle it up. Yeah, that's kind of a dangerous thing to do with somebody who has this kind of power. Well, also, the secret agency sends a former test subject. His name is Rainbird. He's played by Michael Gray Eyes, to hunt Charlie down and bring her in. Rainbird, he's resistant to Andy and Vicky's powers, so they can't really protect him. So the chase is on. The chase is on. And ultimately, Charlie has to decide, can I be a girl or am I just a weapon? And that's the story of Firestarter. Pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, again, I like the first one.
Yeah. It's kind of a cool storyline. Yeah. Well, what works in this movie? Young Ryan Kira Armstrong is excellent as Charlie. And you, John, you've seen it. Young actors can often come off stiff, but not here. She's real, compelling. A frightened kid who can lash out in rage. I liked it. She brought the full diversity of her emotions to this role.
Okay.
And was very natural in doing so. the plot is nicely laid out early on. You know how she got her powers. You know why they have the powers, which is kind of good. So you're not just wondering, well, why on earth does she have this power? You have good performances from Efren and Lemon as Charlie's parents. They're very good, very solid. You know, you kind of wonder, especially with a star like Zac Efron, in a, let's face it, a smaller movie like this, will he kind of mail it in? He did not. Did a really good job. As a refreshing twist, the villain is a black woman. Okay. And you see, this is really cool because Hollywood finally listened to some people who were frustrated at limited roles. This has been talked about a lot in Hollywood by people of color, basically saying, look, you always want us to be the good guys. What you're doing is cutting our roles in half.
Yeah, good point.
We want more roles. And so I thought that was kind of good. Gloria Rubin, she does a real nice job as the villain Cap. And finally, you have some really nice background music. I know that's kind of odd, but it just goes really well with the movie.
Okay.
Okay. What doesn't work in this movie? Well, the pace slows through the middle, as this topic is meant for a 90-minute film, not an hour 50.
Okay.
They didn't go 210 or anything like that, so not so bad, but I would have trimmed it. Second, the plot line doesn't always make sense. I mean, John, tell me this. If you're trying to stay off the grid, because they're trying to stay off the grid, they've got a government agency after them, why let your super-powered and super-dangerous child attend a school?
You wouldn't.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. That makes no sense.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Duh.
Principal, teacher, these people are just, you know, obviously horrified when, you know, things start blowing up. Much of the storyline is predictable. I mean, you know, the government is trying to control a girl who can do virtually anything, and they're threatening her parents. Gosh, John, what will happen?
What could go wrong?
Yeah, government agents basically become like the red shirts that Kirk sends down to the planet. Who go down with the planet to Kirk, with Kirk. I mean, they're doomed, right? So I just don't understand that. Rainbird, who could have been a very, very interesting character, he was wasted. His powers, first of all, a fine actor, Michael Gray Eyes.
I agree.
But secondly, his powers are very, very poorly defined. You don't understand his powers really at all, and they don't do enough with his character. I would have taken out a lot more time. First of all, I would have taken out all the school stuff. That's ridiculous. I would have done a lot more on him and just had more fun with it. Why not? And finally, in this day and age, and this one really surprised me, how good do you think that the fire special effects with today's technology are going to be?
Well, I would hope top notch.
They are not. They are way subpar for the most part. I mean, yeah, there's times when you've got the huge, you know, blowtorch kind of fire. But really, there's times when you just see the results of the fire. You barely see the fire itself. You see her screaming and radiating fire. They could have done way more with the fire, especially with CGI today.
Sure.
It's kind of like, guys, what happened? You run out of budget? I mean, I'm sorry, but this is a supernatural special effects movie in the modern, in 2022. Step it up.
Yeah.
And they did not. It came up way short. So there you go. Rotten Tomatoes gave this 31%. I think that's too harsh. I'm going to go right down the middle, 2.5 stars.
Okay.
In quality for Firestarter. Political 3, moral religious 3, no preaching at all. I like that, as you know. But, you know, folks, if you want to go to see Firestarter and see, okay, did they live up to the first one? I think they did. I think it's worth seeing.
Is it better as far as the CGI than the first one?
Well, yeah, it's better than the first one.
It has to be, because that was how many years ago?
Right.
20 or
yeah,
more?
Yeah, that's not a real step up. Yeah, look, for me, it was a real letdown technologically.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I get it.
But the reasons I would say go to this, first of all, the parents do a good job. And secondly, Ryan Keir Armstrong definitely holds up as the next Drew Barrymore. And boy, by the way, this girl, boy, does she have a future. You can tell she's going to be a real looker, and she already knows how to act with some subtlety. She's not just a kid. And I think this kid has a real big future. I'm going to be watching her career. So in my opinion, I recommend, if you're into this, you know, you want a kind of semi-horror movie. It's a horror movie, but not hardcore, okay? If you want something like that, and it's also that time of year before all the big blockbusters come out, and you want something a little different.
Right?
Yeah. In my opinion, yeah, it's not, you know, the one we're looking forward to at the end of this month. But I say see it. I say, yeah, go see it. Have some fun and just enjoy this. But understand it does lose focus. And it could have done more. There you go, Firestarter.
We'll leave it at that. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air coming up next, folks. And I've talked all week really about their attic fan system. Because it's really not just the old attic fan you pop in the hallway and then it sucks all the air in and out. Not really that at all. It really is a air balancing tool that really does save you money in the end and makes your home a lot more comfortable. Call and ask how that might work for you. 720-526-0231 or find them at klzradio.com.
You spend a lot of money on your furnace. Now make sure your investment pays off for years to come. Sign up for an Absolute Advantage membership to maintain your HVAC systems. Now free to KLZ listeners for the first year. Call 720-526-0231. The team at Absolute Electrical Heating and Air provides long-term customer service, meaning they don't focus on a one-time sale. They want to become your preferred home services partner for the lifetime of your furnace and beyond. To prove their commitment, they're offering free Absolute Advantage memberships to KLZ listeners for the first year, a $369 value. Receive waived dispatch fees during normal business hours, discounted after-hours service fees, a free yearly furnace maintenance and safety inspection, and more. Sign up for the Absolute Advantage membership now. Call 720-526-0231.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
Barber's Foods is next. It's really ranchfreshmeats.com. That's the website to go to. Easiest to remember. We talked to Greg during Ready Radio, gave us a lot of tips on what to do to make sure you're prepared for the future, and they've got everything you need. Prices are going to be going up, folks. I can just about get, well, I know they're going up. Greg will even attest to that with grain prices and such. They're going to go up. So get that meat now. He's got some really great inflation-fighting products on the website right now, ranchfreshmeats.com.
With the longer days and the warmer weather, I think most of us that have smokers or love to barbecue are already outside on the deck or patio grilling up and smoking up some good meat. But where do you get great quality meat sourced from ranchers that care about the welfare of the animals? RanchFreshMeats.com sells only the highest quality meat sourced from farm and ranch families that we know personally. For the month of May, we have a great special on Wagyu sirloin tri-tips from Dan Morgan's Wagyu Ranch. A Wagyu sirloin tri-tip roast weighs only about 2 pounds, but it packs one of the most flavorful beef eating experiences you'll ever have. If you've never had a Wagyu tri-tip before, you are in for a treat. Go to RanchFreshMeats.com and order your Wagyu sirloin tri-tip, and while you're there, check out their other monthly specials. And thank you for supporting a Colorado native farm family when you buy from Ranch Fresh Meats.
All right, group insurance analysts, folks, and they're big on health insurance, but they can handle your business insurance, all of your toys, your house, you name it, they can do it all, and even mountain properties, which I know full well what they can do there, which not everybody will do a mountain property. 303-423-0162 or find them at klzradio.com.
Finding the right health insurance plan can be confusing, and picking the wrong plan can cost you thousands of dollars more in medical costs out of your pocket. Call Paul Lenigro at GIA Insurance, and his team of ACA health specialists will help you find the right plan for your needs and at the very best premium. As independent brokers, GIA Insurance can help you navigate through the maze of health insurance options so you get the right plan to fit your needs at the best premium. GIA never charges fees, and your premiums will never be any higher than going directly to the insurance companies or buying online. Receive the local, hands-on service you don't get with a call center or going online. Whether it is a qualified health insurance plan, dental, life, or vision insurance, GIA has got you covered. Call 303-423-0162, extension 100. GIA is an authorized enrollment center for Connect for Health Colorado, the only place you can get an advanced premium tax credit to lower your premiums.
John Rush led his business through four recessions, and he wants to help you not only survive the recession, but also thrive. John helps you run your business smarter, not harder, by making sure your employees are using their time efficiently, planning for the future of your assets, and adjusting your prices to account for inflation. Do it better than your competition, because the alternative is going broke or out of business. Make a profit as a small business owner so you can rise above the rest. John Rush will help you thrive through the recession. Get a head start and get smarter. Email John at rushtoreason.com.
God, country, reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Coming up this next hour, we're going to do wilderness movies for movie rental reviews, but I wanted to throw something at you on the family camp real quick as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
We were kind of talking about during the break, and I just wanted to add this. I feel like family camp, everything you described, I didn't see the movie myself, but everything that you said reminds me of what Babylon Bee used to be. Now, Babylon Bee lately has become pretty funny. It's very conservative comedy. It's not churches, but early on, Babylon Bee was very church comedy, and if you weren't in or around the church, most of the jokes they put out, you never would have gotten. By the way, one of my biggest complaints I had with them early on was quit being so churchy if you want to try to meet the masses.
So they were speaking fluent Christianese.
Correct.
Okay.
But see, Babylon, I only know Bee, but they learned.
I only know the Bee the last few years, and they are hysterical.
No, early on, they were, and Charlie will attest to this because him and I used to talk about this, they were very, very, you know, churchy, if you would, when it came to their comedy.
Right. And by the way, you know, to be a little more gentle, because I need to be, because I was pretty harsh.
No, you're
toward
fine.
Family camp. I want to restate that, you know, it is hard to make skits work in movies. And I think early on, the Saturday Night Live folks, they had a hard time. It was hit and miss. They had some movies where the skit really worked, you know.
Agreed.
Blues Brothers and
agreed.
So on. They had other ones where, you know,
they had some that were terrible.
Right, because the skit doesn't hold up long enough for a movie.
Right.
And that was something they had to really learn. Now, they got great at it, mm-hmm. of course. But that can be hard. That can be hard. And I think that the big thing that was really lacking in this film was directing. You know, even a lot of their skit humor, the timing was off. It was, as I said, forced within the genre, you know. I love Will Ferrell. I don't want a Will Ferrell character while I'm watching Schindler's List. That's an exaggeration, of course. But I'm exaggerating.
No, I get what you're saying.
I'm
sure.
Way exaggerating for effect here.
Well, you wouldn't even... Let's go this step. We did two movies. You did Family Camp and Firestarter. You wouldn't
right.
want Will Ferrell in Firestarter.
Actually, that might be...
Might have been better, but you get my drift.
Will Ferrell with the power of fire.
You know, you Will's funny.
Yes.
Firestarter doesn't sound like a comedy.
It is not at all.
Okay.
And by the way, it could have used a little.
Would have made it a little more...
Pep it up a little bit.
A little more palatable.
Yeah. Yeah. I was okay with the mood of it, but... Yeah, I getting back to family camp, I agree. And it was so churchy. If you are not a right-wing evangelical Christian, you just can't go to the movie. And I don't know about right-wing so much, but evangelical Christian... Big time church person, you just can't relate. Now, the church crowd can go. I think even they are going to be left wanting.
Really?
It's just not well directed, John. I mean, a lot of the humor in the first half is so forced and over the top that it just kind of kills the mood. I don't want to be reminded that I'm watching a movie when I watch a movie.
Exactly. You want to immerse yourself in it, right?
I do. Even if it's a crazy...
You want to put yourself inside of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Even
that's what a movie is supposed to do.
Even if it's a kooky comedy mm-hmm. like Dodgeball.
That's right.
Still, it immerses you in the story and you have a lot of fun within it, even though it's kooky.
The idea of going to the movies, unless it's a documentary, by the way, or a nature film, even nature films. So really, except for a documentary, the idea of a movie is to immerse yourself in it to where you feel you're a part of it, right?
Absolutely.
That's the idea of a movie.
And I couldn't... I was cringing. I couldn't immerse myself in this thing at all. Like I said, second half, it's as Eddie starts to calm down a little, it starts to become more tolerable.
Okay.
And by the way, really quick here for the next hour, you know, wilderness movies.
Yes.
That can be forest. That can be jungle. That can be, hey, folks, anything.
Use your imagination.
Got a lot of trees. You're good.
Yeah, use your imagination, because I've got some of mine that are probably on a little bit of the fringe there, if you would. So, but we'll have a lot of fun. This, okay. This was one I had to do. You know, we had to think
this
on
hard.
This one. Yeah, this one was a little tougher than what even I kind of thought originally. But we've got some good ones, so enjoy that here this next hour. And by the way, if you want to chime in on that, text us 307-200-8222. Again, 307-200-8222. As always, studio line, which lines will be open, 303-477-5600. Myself, Andy, and Charlie will be back here in a moment. My son Richard will join us, and we will go through movie rental reviews. And again, it will be wilderness movies. We'll be right back. This is KLZ 560.